Log Talk Radio.
Hey guys, want to kill that cable bill? How about getting a Netmaster? You can watch live TV, pay-per-view, premium content like HBO and Starz, all of the sports channels like NBA League Pass, NFL Red Zone, and every movie ever made. Pay for the box once, no monthly fees ever. For more information, contact Dean13 Media at 609-807-1175.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Voice of the People. It is the last Monday in April. We are headed toward May. April 30th. Wow, time surely does fly. But as we wait for a couple of minutes, got to take care of some business real quick, and we're going to be back. We have our guest here tonight, Daryl Stover. So we get back, we're going to get the show popping. But right now, lay back and relax for a second and enjoy the tunes, all right? It's the Voice of the People with Dean Geronimo and Mark Lee. All right, y'all, we're back. Welcome to the Voice of the People. Mark Lee, tell me something good, man.
Oh, I'm just sitting here chilling, you know, doing what we do here in Durham, North Carolina, enjoying the relaxing weather. We had a nice cool breeze a couple of early today, and
yesterday was just wonderful, so I actually got a way to get to an event, and that was real fun. So I was at work and then slid on down to one of our local parks where one of the churches was having a, actually the church that meets at ATI, was having a little bit of a gathering. So got a little bit of free food and, of course, some good company and some good conversation. So that was real cool. So I'm sure that you had a good weekend as well.
Yeah, the weekend went pretty well, man. Caught the Avengers when it came out, opening weekend. Real good movie. If you haven't seen it, check it out. And also, that night, went to the Philadelphia Soul Arena Bowl football game, watched them get their 20th straight home win. So the Soul is rolling on 3-0 right now in the season, and we'll see what else happens, you know. Also caught the part of the NFL draft. In the later round, one alumni from my Virginia State University, Trent Cannon, was drafted by the New York Jets. So, you know, we'll be checking that out and see how well he fares in his rookie season. Congratulations to Trent Cannon.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime we get any of the HBCU players into the draft and get a chance to prove themselves on the big stage, that is always a great thing. Now, another thing that I did that was really cool was, you know, you're talking about the Avengers, and I still haven't got around to seeing the Panthers and or Avengers. I know I'm behind the times. I got to catch up on both of those. But, you know, years ago, there was this great movie about the other Panthers, the Black Panthers, that Stanley Nelson did called Black Panthers, Vanguard of Revolution. So they had a brief screening of that on Saturday afternoon, a little bit afternoon, like after 12 o'clock, and I went to check that out, and then there was a discussion afterwards. But, yeah, if you haven't seen that movie, and you can get it either out of your library, out of Netflix, out of Amazon, whatever, and you didn't see it when it was on PBS, you definitely need to check it out because Stanley, like he often does not pull any punches. He talks about the real deal and talks about what's going on and things of that nature. So, I mean, he brought out everything from how Fred Hampton was basically assassinated and how that was not pretty at all. I mean, anytime somebody thinking out like that, it's not going to be pretty, but they painted all the pictures and the scene and all of that. So that was real powerful checking that out. And then he also had some of the people that were basically stoolies in the whole thing, you know, that they were the people that were selling out our Black Panthers. They were being interviewed as well as some agents. So it was definitely some powerful stuff on that movie.
I definitely got to check that out. I had the honor of sitting and speaking with Bobby Seale this past October at the New Jersey State Conference NAACP breakfast, where he was the keynote speaker. And to just, I mean, when he sat down and he sat down beside me, I was like, whoa, you know what I mean? To have history right there with you, definitely got to, you know, for everybody, check that out, because some things will be filled in, what you heard, and then hear it from those who actually lived it. And
right, exactly.
It's so much better to hear from someone who actually lived it and was there than to hear it secondhand, because that secondhand information gets twisted and altered, and we all know, especially with our history, you know, it can turn out a totally different story by the time the third person tells it. You know?
Oh, yeah, and that was one of the great things was we had a discussion afterwards. I mean, it was a small discussion. I think it probably lasted about 30 to 45 minutes. It was like a little bit of a round table discussion, but the two keynote people were a gentleman who I've been recruited to be on the show in another few weeks, if not after you and your wife come back from the cruise, so maybe another month or so, but he's involved in some of the activism stuff that is going on in the New Jersey, New York area, and also has some bases here in the area. Younger than me, so he's probably like in his late 40s and things of that nature. But then the other person that spoke was Larry Holmes, and that's not the boxer Larry Holmes, but Larry Holmes that actually ran under the socialist ticket I believe he ran as president candidate. He's either president or vice president, but I believe he was the presidential candidate, and you know, he definitely has some interest in history, and you know, he knew some of the Panthers personally, so he definitely brought up a lot of things. And you know, some of the things we talked about were really interesting. Like we had talked about how one of the things that happened with the Panthers was that they definitely, and it happened with a lot of our movements, they had people that were seen as like the highlight people and the people that were the spotlighted folks. So you know, once you take out the spotlighted people, and it's easier for the movement to die down. But it seems like both the Me Too movement, the movement against bearing arms coming out of the school kids, and some of these other movements are not as focused on just one central personality. So they don't have that necessarily as much of a cult of personality kind of fixation. So if something goes wrong, they're still in there. Well, it sounds like we might have a phone call. Maybe that's Mr. Sober. Let's see.
Yeah, he's been in the parking lot for a minute. Let's bring him into the show, all right? And ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Voice of the People with Dean Geronimo and Mark Lee. You can join in on the conversation. Call in 646-668-8393. Welcome to The Voice of the People, Mr. Stover. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, cats. I'm doing fine.
Gail is always doing fine. He's always got some amazing things that are going on in his life. That's why I wanted Dale to come on this show, because he's just always got some real good insights and things of that nature as to things that are happening both on the national scene as well as the local scene, because he's been a fixture in our artistic community here. As a matter of fact, I was about ready to mention his name to a mutual friend of ours, because before calling in on the show, I had just gotten off the phone with Miss Stephanie McLean, and he and Stephanie had served together on the Full Frame Committee at one point together. So she's still doing her foundation work and some other work. So she wanted me to pass on her hellos to you.
Yeah, well, do the same back to her for me.
I would definitely do that. So, Dale, if you just want to tell folks a little bit about your great history, because like I said, we've talked all many times when you come by. Hey, Tyne, I'm just amazed. As I was telling a friend of mine, you're one of the few people I know that can actually claim to be both a right brain and a left brain person, because, you know, a lot of times folks associate the science as being more that right brain kind of thing and the arts as being more the left brain kind of thing. But you're one of those people that's actually able to blend the two together and have blended it together all through your life. I mean, you even told me about some of the things that you were involved at when you were at the University of Maryland. So, like I said, you've always had that kind of inclination.
Yeah, well, that's true, Mark. I've been driving around with a license plate that says Sci Poet, meaning science poet, for over 20 years here in North Carolina. And that's because of the fact that my graduate degree from the writing program at Johns Hopkins University, actually trying to follow in the footsteps of Gil Scott Heron, because that's where he got his master's in writing from. But my background, yes, is in both science and art and history. And of course, for me, with that science is with microbiology, the biological science. For me, it's about science communication. For me, it's about, yeah, birds have a song, and that's why I love the blues.
Yeah, you definitely are a big blues fan. There's no doubt about that. And you're also a big fan. I was just talking to Dean earlier, because Dean has seen, as I was telling him, I know I'm behind it, and I got to go see both of them now. But Dean just came back from seeing The Avengers. I don't know if you've seen The Avengers yet. I know it's got more, a lot of people are telling the fact that it's got more of a Wakanda appeal in its marketing, but it looks like he was saying it is definitely following in the footsteps of Panther, and is another solid movie in that tradition. And I know that you're a big fan of the comics and definitely a fan of Panther.
Oh, yeah. We don't want to do any spoilers, do we, G? I know I saw it last Thursday night. There's plenty can be said about it. I even broke out some of the comic books over the weekend to revisit the story. But as you know, with the movies, they do make shifts, changes, tweaks, among other things. And if you look back at the comic books, you don't see Black Panther at all. So that says a whole lot for how things have changed. But I'm willing to wait till next year, when that story that we see in Avengers Infinity War comes to a head in various ways, because there's a lot that happened there, and there's a lot of people who aren't happy with some of the things that happened in that movie. But we're not going to do that to them, are we? We're not going to talk about that, are we?
No, we don't have to talk about that. We'll let folks go check it out, and then they can decide whether they are with the program or not, and whether they think that it's following in the tradition of what the movie and the series is supposed to be all about. But you're right. We all know that movies oftentimes don't follow the tradition of the spoken word and things of that nature. But you have a very popular course at North Carolina State. I don't want you to talk about that because I'm just amazed at how popular that course has become, because you do a whole thing on Afrofuturism and you've done some things at ATI revolving around what Afrofuturism is and who some of your heroes of Afrofuturism are.
Yeah, well, I mean, when we started, I mean, Janelle Monae just now dropped her new album on us last Friday, but when we start to look at who those heroes are, and we can just talk about the music, and, you know, so it's Sun Ra, it's George Clinton, it's Bootsy Collins, it's John Coltrane, it's Pharoah Sanders, it's Kamasi Washington, so... those folks in and of themselves, it's LaBelle. Those are just a few of the names that can be discussed. And then you can dig deeper into why they are representative of Afrofuturism. What are the components of Afrofuturism that are represented in their work and who they are and what they present? I like to use the phrase science fictional identity. For setting the stage for any sort of discussion around Afrofuturism. I'm giving a lecture on May 9th at the Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh at 12 noon entitled Afrofuturism, the Black Panther, and Environmental Science.
Oh, wow.
Now, if you want to figure that one out, come on down and we'll help you with it.
Yeah, there's going to be some folks who will try to figure that one out all together, because that incorporates a lot of the things that you're all about, environmental science and the environmentalist kind of things that are going on in the country, as well as Afrofuturism. But for those that are listening that don't necessarily have their own definition of Afrofuturism, what is your definition? What is the Daryl Stover definition of Afrofuturism?
Well, I mean, there's like several many definitions that have been posed by a whole host of folks. But when we start to look at it from the standpoint of science fictional identity, we also look at it from the standpoint also of science fact and identity. How do we identify with visioning a future for us as a people? And that means looking back to look forward within the context of Sankofa. And when we embrace it via the sciences and the like, you know, Hidden Figures as a movie, and that whole contribution of all of those women that worked up there in Hampton, Virginia, at Langley Air Force Base, all of those are Afrofuturist narratives. All of those are Afrofuturist superheroines who have laid the ground for impacting not only the space program, but impacting just the whole notion of who we are and what we can be from the standpoint of being mathematicians, engineers, and women, because you know, there is this gap that exists when we start talking about STEM. But one of the ways to stem that gap is to raise the voices and celebrations of the women as represented in that story, as well as the oh so many other men and women, Black of African descent, who contributed to the sciences. And are contributing to the sciences even as we speak in various laboratories and other settings across the planet.
Yeah, because that's one of the things that we've even talked about here on the show when we had other educators on, that it seems to me, and you can tell me if you agree, that our own media doesn't even do a good job of highlighting some of these amazing scientists and amazing people that we have in the engineering field and the biology field and things of that nature. I mean, we might not expect it from mainstream media, but even our own media doesn't necessarily do a good job of putting up and touting those people that are doing some amazing work, whether they're at Glaxo, whether they're at places like up around the D.C. and their research models, or whether they're around the RTP area or various other parts of the country that are doing just amazing research. You know, John Hopkins, and probably several brothers and sisters up there that are doing several great things.
Right. Well, we get caught in the dilemma, actually, of, yeah, wanting to celebrate, but we tell the off-toe tale. So we'll talk about those who generated patents in various ways, shapes, and forms over the early decades of the 20th century, failing to realize that there have been contributions ever since then. Your grandfather at North Carolina Central University in establishing biology department at North Carolina Central University could be said to be the person that certainly, with others, set the stage for the fact that now North Carolina Central University has two major biotechnology institutes there on that campus. So those are stories where you got to dig deeper. You got to tell the tale and uplift a little higher and dig deep as to what was the research, what was being taught, what was going on in the laboratory. So when you start to look at it from the standpoint of history, sociology, politics, as well as science and art, you raise the bar on what the potential is for changing the paradigm as to how we engage and how we advance ourselves and advance the planet. Because Lord knows, you know, if we certainly were free to have done what certainly, in a fictional sense, what was done in Wakanda, we'd probably be jetting to other universes by now, other star systems. So let's look at it from that standpoint and understand that sort of visioning is what Afrofuturism is as well.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, I think even sometimes we don't even acknowledge the impact that some of our science fiction people have had. I mean, everybody knows about Miss Nichols and her role as Lieutenant Uhuru, but a lot of times that even gets lost in the shuffle of what was going on at that time. And there were several major storylines that she was featured in. And then, of course, later Worf and the actor that played him came along, as well as LeVar Burton. But a lot of times we even forget those kind of folks in thinking about the whole narrative. And that's just from off of the Star Trek part of the narrative. And, of course, there's other ones that come out of some of the other science fiction movies and chains.
Well, you can talk about the full circle that was established with the fact that Nichelle Nichols played Uhura, yes, on Star Trek, and she served as the inspiration for Mae Jemison wanting to go into space. And then eventually Mae Jemison shows up in Star Trek The Next Generation. So it really went full circle. Not only was she stimulated to become an astronaut, but she was stimulated to become a full-fledged member of the Star Trek family, which came about in time. So there's that. But then when you start to look at it from the standpoint of all of the various science fiction writers, black, of African descent, there's a untold treasure there in regards to stories to read that engage in interpreting us via identity, politics, place, time, science. Nnedi Okorafor is one of the major black science fiction writers in these times, who actually is also scripting the next series of Marvel comic books that will specifically focus on the Dora Milaje from the Black Panther narrative. So when you start to look around and you start to look at what's happening, there is, like they say, there's more happening under the sun, and we need to shine a brighter light.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it seems like, as I remember when you had the discussion over at HATA, you were talking about the fact, which I had almost let that slip my mind, that Taisha Coates and a lot of these other people that were brothers and I believe a sister or two, they were actually involved in some of the writing and the narrative development of Black Panther. So would you tell folks a little bit about that as well? Because I don't know that everybody that's gone to see this movie knows about how much of a role we played in the writing and the creation of this movie.
Right. Well, you got to look at it from the standpoint first. If you want to talk about Black Panther, which shame on you, Mark, you have not gone to see the movie. So you need to do your pittance this weekend and see both movies this weekend, or I'm not going to be your friend anymore. But anyway, we're going to take away your Afrofuturist card. But anyway...